Hey beauties, welcome to the Rise Up and Radiate podcast. I'm Ivory, your host, life coach, and your personal cheerleader on this journey. And baby girl, I am so glad you're here. This is the place where we get real, dive deep, and yes, even have a little fun as we uncover the light that's waiting to shine from within you. Here, you'll be inspired, motivated, and maybe even a bit challenged to rise up and radiate, even if you're walking through some hard things right now. Because guess what? You were made to walk in confidence, freedom, and total authenticity. Today, we're diving into stories of people who went from feeling stuck, unsure, and disconnected to who they are to rising up and shining in ways they never imagined. And you're going to pick up some tools and tips along the way to help you do the same. And if this episode lights you up, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with a friend or leave a review so more amazing souls can join us on this journey. Let's spread the light far and wide and help everyone rise up and radiate. Buckle in. Here we go. Let's do this. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Rise Up and Radiate podcast. I am Ivory, your host. And y'all, I am so excited because I have a dear friend coming on to the podcast today. Her name is Olivia, and she is a follower of Jesus and the oldest of three daughters. She teaches second grade and is passionate about education as a whole. And I have the wonderful privilege of getting to watch her in action. She is a dear friend of mine. She has such an incredible gift with children. She actually serves my daughter at church and our ministry for children. And today we're going to talk through what it looks like to walk from the darkness to the light as we navigate answering our call and the dream and a vision that God's given us. So Olivia, will you share a little bit about a season where it may have felt a little dark and what you're walking through and kind of bring people into what God's put on your heart?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I love you so much. I'm so excited. The Lord honestly gave me this dream years ago with my sisters. We always talked about raising our kids together and homeschooling them and really teaching them what it looks like to follow Jesus and be all in for him, but also having life skills and practical things that maybe the educational system has failed to teach our kids now. And that dream had been in my heart for a while. The darkness settled in when I felt like the Lord was pushing me to act on that dream. But I did not yet have a family. I did not yet have my own kids. And this vision that I had created out of a passion that he'd given me looked nothing like the season I was currently in. So I felt like maybe I was hearing him wrong. Maybe I was misstepping. Maybe this was still premature and it wasn't the right time. And it was just my desire getting ahead of me and that, you know, eventually that would happen as time went on. He has me in this season of teaching second graders. But as I see him moving me out of that, again, I don't have the things that I thought I would have or that I would quote unquote need to step into that dream that he gave me.
Woo. Y'all, I don't know about you, but I think we all can so relate to what Olivia is talking about, because whether it's a dream, a vision, something that God placed in us, maybe it's a calling, a role that we saw ourselves stepping into, we get hijacked when it doesn't look like we expected it to look like. It can really hijack us, and that can make us question and doubt. And really, I think it starts to reveal I'm being honest, for me as well, like what my heart truly believes about me, about the call, what is my identity's foundation, what it's resting on, what it's attached to, if that makes sense. And so as I hear you sharing this, I can so relate, because as I've started my own business and the ministry and the podcast, it's like you have all these visions and these dreams, but when they don't go as planned, how do you navigate that? And that can feel so dark. And I think doubt can seep in there. Right. Fear can seep in there. So how have you navigated this? Like, What has that looked like as you've gone through, okay, this is the dream, this is the vision, but my life doesn't look like I thought it would. Now what?
Yeah, at first, honestly, not well. I did not navigate it well. I think I, in ignorance, started desiring things that later, after the Holy Spirit kind of brought me to that point, I realized were escape routes. Because the calling that I knew, and at this point, I had no doubt that he had put that dream in my heart for a reason, and that this dream was going to happen a lot sooner than I had originally thought. And so I had people keeping me accountable to that, which thank the Lord for that, because had I kept silent about it, I think easily the enemy would have snatched that seed away and convinced me that later on is a better time. And I know that God can redeem all things, and that
absolutely,
because that's a dream he gave me, even if I was disobedient now, he would have drawn me to himself, because he always accomplishes his purposes, right? So that would have still happened.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was sooner than I thought, and I had people that were linking arms with me and sometimes dragging me to take action steps because I didn't want to, and it felt heavy, I still was wondering, like, why am I feeling so heavy? If this is something that I was so excited about, why do I feel so bogged down? We're taking these steps, looking into starting a nonprofit, looking into, you know, networking and having conversations with people. I would get so anxious, because my first thought was, who am I to have these conversations, and why are all eyes on me? My perspective was very selfish. It was very flesh oriented rather than kingdom minded. And I started to look at and compare to other things that seemed quote unquote easier, and I would fixate on them. And I couldn't understand why I was fixating on them, why I so badly wanted a relationship, or why I so badly wanted this job, or why I so badly wanted this person's life. And again, the Holy Spirit in his kindness, and through conversations with you even, revealed those were easy way outs, quote unquote, still following the Lord, and still in disobedience, really, to where he was calling me to. And once I had that revelation, once he brought that to me, and I could pinpoint this desire and this desire and this desire are all really my lack of trust. I believe that. And after releasing it, he replaced that heaviness with joy and replaced the burden with purpose. So no longer was it a burden to do those things, because I was operating in the freedom and the purpose that he gave me. And kind of underneath all of that was also a spirit of perfection, which again, I had to confront in starting a vision. I think anybody, most personalities, when you have that laid out in front of you, you want to know what every step is going to look like. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I had already created every step. I would date, I would get engaged, I would be married. After X amount of time, I'd have one kid, I would start prepping the school so that by the time that kid was school aged, we'd already have the system in order. And then my sisters would be having kids. And here I am, you know, following in step with Jesus without a person to walk that with in that capacity, but with a better support system than I'd ever imagined. So I still have the support and I'm not alone, but my company looks different than I thought.
Wow.
So I think once I had that perspective, I could celebrate the differences and again, throw faith into the fact that those things will come in the right time. But not feeling or not believing the lie that he was holding out on me. And that kept me stuck, thinking that this was him not fighting for me. And I like, once you find out that lie, that I think changed a lot for me moving forward.
I hope you guys hear what I'm hearing, with what she's sharing. She's saying, first of all, she was in community and she was willing to tell her community and the people close to her what was on her heart. Mm-hmm. So they could call things out or they could speak into things that maybe were calling her to look at things out of a different perspective. You were seeing things from a vantage point, but people in community helped shift that vantage point.
Yeah.
So she could see and recognize, wait, oh my goodness, maybe there is something off. So number one, if you don't have good community and safe people that you can talk to about your dreams and about the vision that God's put in your heart and about the purposes and plans that He's birthed inside of you, man, pray for that. Seek that. Ask the Lord to bring those people to you because that can really transform how you navigate the call that God's placed on your life. I hope you guys hear her self-awareness and just how she's like, man, I recognize, I struggle with perfectionism. And so I'm moving from this spirit of perfectionism. And I was looking at things one way, recognizing maybe that I wasn't acknowledging them the way that I realized I could. So there's just so much internal dialogue happening that she was working through to understand, man, I'm comparing. I don't have joy over the call. What's stealing that away from me? And all these things were coming up for her, but that's because she was taking time and processing. And I don't know about you, Olivia, but I think sometimes we get so caught up in our feelings and what we see in front of us that it hinders us from really being able to keep moving forward. And so the community, talking about it, taking time to process and really understanding what's underneath, which was the lie that God is withholding something from me. And once you were able to navigate around that and see, oh, that's how the enemy is trying to abort the vision before I even get started, because I had all these preconceived ideas about what it would look like, now I can move forward. Mm-hmm. So was that the defining moment that kind of helped you move from like moving in the darkness of, oh, it's not what I expected, to the light?
Yeah, I would say identifying that spirit of perfection and repenting of that.
Mm.
I think also a part of that process that's still ongoing is understanding my identity as His daughter.
Mm.
And that He's not asking for perfection from me.
Come on.
I feel that so heavily. I think at first as well with this school, that I had to have all the answers and that it had to flow without any hitches and mm-hmm. that I had to have all the things. And again, this full scope of what this was going to look like. And that if it didn't match that, it somehow meant I was failing or disappointing. And coming back to that word chosen, that being chosen doesn't necessarily rest on my qualification.
Mm, come on.
But I am chosen because of His love for me and because I am His daughter, because He Amen. Gave me those gifts. So as long as I'm operating in that humility and in that like open-handed mindset that mm-hmm. I don't have the answers, but you already know that. He knows I don't have all the answers. So He's bringing me those people. And what I can do is just keep my hands open to that and have the conversations. And I think you're right about processing. I mean, there was times so many things were happening that I got my face within an inch of the giant and I was not backing up enough to process. And so I felt like my mind was backlogged.
Oh, that's so good.
And with that, I was just stuck. So I think again, what kind of released that was having the time and the space, and you're right, the community, to draw me back, rest in His presence, allow Him to sort through those things without mm-hmm. a time constraint. And then the giant doesn't seem so big.
Come on.
And once you process one thing, usually there's a trickle effect of everything that He just fits in place. And a lot of times I found out I had a myth in my mind that that would be like practical, tangible things. Like once I processed that,
come on,
boom, 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 all these things I would be able to see. And I'm realizing that all of the things that boom, 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 He's doing are internal. Also view that as like a setup. Like I can't doubt that He's doing something because He's internally preparing me where before my character would not have been able to hold what I know He's going to bring. So I think that is really where I feel this release, even though there's not necessarily an answer or solution staring me in the face yet.
All right. I just want to sit in that. And I think this is where my coaching comes in. And I just want to ask the listeners, what is your giant? What is the thing that is causing you to doubt that you're like, if I just had this thing, or man, if this was just this, and you're so close to it that you can't even formulate your feelings, you don't even understand what's going on in your heart, you maybe can't even identify the blocks or the strategy that you need to move to take the giant down. You're just like frozen in front of him. So what could it be that is hindering you from acknowledging the different ways that maybe the Lord has intended for you to be able to navigate around it, to face it? And I love what you said. Sometimes what God is going to reveal isn't the next step in front of you. It's the next step in your heart that he needs to adjust or reposition or realign in order for you to be able to walk out the calling. And I think we miss that. When God places a vision in our heart, sometimes we won't see it come to fruition for a little while because God has work on us to do. I know that was the case for me. Oh my goodness. I remember as a little girl, I would have my Barbies lined up and I'd be speaking to them about Jesus and just like telling them like, you're loved, you're beautiful. And as a little girl, I thought I'd be a cosmetologist. And now I like to say I'm a cosmetologist for the soul. But in all of those little moments, God was preparing me to be right where I am having this conversation with you, Olivia. We have always been in process. I mean, your vision started when you were a little girl, like me and my sisters, we're going to all raise babies together and then we're going to teach them. Mm-hmm. And I want to say this too. This is so important. If you are stuck in not knowing what God has called you to do, look back and ask the Holy Spirit to help you know and understand or come into awareness of what was play for you or what you would dream about as a kid. Because often what you were called to do wasn't part of the way you played as a child. Yep. And I don't think a lot of people recognize that. So if you're operating in something that's so outside of your normal, whatever brings you joy, that's a tip to kind of look into. So, okay, Olivia, you're sitting here, you're understanding, okay, there was a defining moment, you understand the lie, you looked at the giant, but then took time to step back and visualize what was going on and what that process has looked like. So looking back, is as you've gone through this process, is there something valuable that you've learned about yourself or that's given you confidence or helped you walk in more freedom as you've navigated this time of just kind of walking into this dream?
So I feel like the Lord is very intentional because as I walk through things, somehow it always lines up with what I'm teaching my students. Bible. And so I remember a couple of years ago, there was a time that I was engaged and I ended that engagement. And that was a complete breakaway from everything that people had been speaking over me. And the Lord did such a work in my heart at that time. And I had no clue where he was going to take me. And I was starting to teach my students about Ruth, the story of Ruth. And at that time where I was so fearful, even just of what my future steps would look like, I also started teaching them about Gideon, who we find him hiding. And the angel speaks over him, valiant warrior, which is so ironic considering his posture when the angel appeared to him. I've started teaching my students this year about Joshua. And I teach it every year. but this year, to put myself in his shoes, I mean, he followed Moses and those were really big shoes to fill. And he saw the Lord do so many miracles through Moses. And then for him to step into that, he's a man of action and he was so quick to obey. But even as they approached the Jordan River, you know, the Israelites had already come up to the Red Sea with Moses, and Moses just held out his staff and the water parted and the people didn't have to do anything. And as I studied that, I think what gave me so much confidence is I was expecting God to work in ways I've already seen him work because that was comfortable and that was safe. And like, if he did that, surely he's going to do it again. And what he showed me that again wasn't necessarily about myself, but within scripture to see that when Joshua got to the Red Sea, the Levites who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God's presence, they had to step. And the Bible says it wasn't until their feet actually hit the water that the water started to part. And as I'm teaching my kids this, I just start feeling the Holy Spirit so strongly start to convict me that I was waiting for things to look familiar and comfortable, but he's bringing my toes to the edge of the water. And then I have the choice if I'm going to take a step or if I'm going to wait and wait and wait and sit in that stillness and expect him to work the way I think he's going to work. And so I think, again, studying that revealed so much about where he has me and what he is going to do. Because I'm sure those Levites had no clue what was going to happen, but they were surely hoping that the water was going to part. So they took those steps. Again, acknowledging that while he doesn't do the same thing twice, he never missteps. And he's never going to leave me or anybody with a dream in their heart from God. He's not going to leave them hanging. And he's not going to leave them without provision or a path.
Amen.
And so that was like, okay, if that's where he's got me, I can take a step.
Amen. Wow. Y'all, she just preached a whole little sermon right there. Get your notebooks out. Rewind. So good. So good. And I think that is so powerful as we're moving into the dream or the vision or the calling, or even just starting to pray about what that looks like, expect to be surprised. I think that's what I'm taking. Like, don't expect God to do it the way you think or the way you anticipate or the way you hope, although you can, like, oh God, you could do it this way. But I think we have to become people of expectation and anticipation as we're moving into the call, as we're trying to, you know, accomplish the work that he's put in our hearts to do. And I just love that sometimes, guys, we aren't going to know the way, and we are going to be standing at the water's edge like, and he's going to say, just take a step. One thing that Olivia and I have been encouraging each other is, okay, where did you throw faith this week? I love Hebrews 11:6, and it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so just, okay, where are we throwing faith? Where are you walking? Maybe without the directions, maybe without all the steps, maybe without the know-how. I think about this podcast and, you know, the first couple of episodes I recorded with one mic, and then it was like, man, the sound quality is terrible. I mean, it's just, you just got to start. And as you start, it's going to get better and it's going to get better, and you're going to learn, and God's going to open this door and he's going to open that door, but you have to be willing to move. And I think I was just reading this today. God didn't tell Joshua, feel strong and courageous. He said, be strong and courageous. So we can't allow our feelings to dictate how we move, because a lot of times we're not going to feel strong and courageous. We're not going to want to take the step into the promised land because we don't know what it looks like. And I think this is what, at the end of the day, God is calling his people. He wants to know us. He wants to get close to us. And where does he get close to us? When we can't rely upon ourselves. And so when he's put a dream in our heart and he's calling us out to do things that we're like, God, I have no idea. I just want to help people. I want women to know who they are in Jesus. And he's like, awesome, start a podcast. What? You know, Olivia, yep. God, these babies, I want them to know who they are. I want them to go to school, but then not just learn school stuff. Like, I want to teach them how to do practical things and like all these amazing things. And it's like, but wait, Lord, me? And he's like, yeah, but I think it's so important that we trust that he is going to lead us, that he is going to guide us. He is going to direct us. And as we do, oh my goodness, I think we'll just be surprised. Like, once our feet hit the water, what miracles are on the other side?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So let me ask you this. What qualities and strengths have emerged for you in this season? And how have they shaped the way you're living today and embracing who you are?
I think something that the Lord has developed or maybe shown me is being able to speak truth and be a discerner of, especially children, like what spirits they're operating in. I think as he has developed a awareness of myself and internally what spirits I'm operating in that are not of him, he has then given me a fierce burden for my students in that capacity. And I think a strength that I hope to take into that school is providing a safe and nurturing space where that is talked about. And where those things are addressed with parents that also share in that same vision, that also desire for their children to operate in freedom rather than operating in the high and fast paced, stress filled, you know, environment that a lot of our kids are in right now, that they don't have space and time to experience the presence of God because they're so distracted by entertainment and acceptance and the short term gratification, which you see a lot of in adults. But to see it operate in kids, I think a strength would be, again, calling those things out and and leading them to that freedom a lot sooner than I was necessarily.
As you're sharing this, I would love to give you space to just share about the dream of what this school is. Because for me, when I'm hearing this, I'm like, oh my word. Yeah, I would have loved to have an opportunity to learn to walk in freedom like that. You shared a little bit at the top of the episode, but tell me, like, what is the dream? What is the hope? What do you, because I know you've shared a little bit, like it's going to be a school. You want hopefully to help these kids come into freedom and understanding of what they're operating in, if they're operating by the Holy Spirit, or if they're moved by, you know, demonic spirits and impulses that Jesus didn't call for them to live. That's not their portion. So would you share with our community what that would look like and what you're hoping to build?
Yes, absolutely. I would love to. Really, the premise and a lot of the core values would foster like that wonder. Children are naturally, they want to explore and experience. They're very curious. And in sitting in a desk for X amount of hours a day, and then going home to do more homework about the things that they learn during the day, that wander is squashed and learning becomes a negative experience. So then they learn to separate their lives into this time where I'm learning, and this time where I'm living. And I want this school to be a place where learning is not just a block of time. It's a lifestyle. And it's not negative. It's actually so positive. It's something that they look forward to. With that being said, that would require, you know, an open space for them. So on a plot of land. And I think a lot of that wonder and a lot of that even responsibility comes from caring for God's creation. So a garden, think animals and going out and doing chores and learning how to care for them, which I think also another core value is developing stewardship and gratitude. So you have kids that understand where our food is coming from. They understand the process and the hard work that it takes, which inevitably is going to create a gratefulness toward the Lord who provides them, but also for people that work in trades and have these skills that, again, I think our traditional educational system pushes more university learning and less the people that actually make our current society function. So placing value on those roles and giving them insight to those roles. So there would be a time where they're doing chores, they're learning responsibility within that, a time where they have academics, a time to study the Bible, a time to, you know, learn again what they need to learn, and also then time to explore what their passions are. So in teaching, I've got boys that love to build and they're so innately gifted to create things that my brain would never piece together. But in a traditional setting, when you're in a desk and you have papers to get through and then you have homework to do, they're not gifted that time to explore that. And eventually, not until much later, do they really have the chance to explore that. I would love for this school to be a time again where they are learning, I'm really good at this. And so what can we do to create spaces and to make connections and mentorship with other men, other women that are in these industries and these fields so that they can, from a young age, understand the way they were created was not wrong or not in a wrong time just because they're 7, 8, 9, but that it's very intentional by their creator and that there was a design in that and that it is purposeful. Even as a child, purpose doesn't start when you graduate high school. I mean, purpose is built into every soul. And so this school would be, again, academically would still be the priority, but there's also so many other things within it that I think are missed because our focus in the traditional educational system is on tasks that need to be accomplished rather than character that needs to be developed.
Thank you so much for sharing. I'm getting teary-eyed as you share because it's so beautiful. And I just hear the passion. And I wanted you to share for two reasons. One, because I want my audience to hear what God's put in you. But two, because God can take the desire of a little girl's heart and he can put feet to it and he can create a thing that maybe nobody's thought about before. And there's going to be so many listeners that are like, wow, I thought about this or I thought about that. And you've just brushed it off because maybe no one gave you permission to say, no, that's something you can do. Like you can make something of that. And so thank you for sharing. And I hope for all the listeners out there, if you have something like that, that God's put in you, I hope this will be the confirmation that, you know what, this thing that God's called me to do, I can do it. And Olivia, the dream that God's put in you is so beautiful. And I'm just like, all the kids that are going to be blessed because you said yes to answering the call is going to be incredible. Mm-hmm. So thank you for saying yes. And thank you for pushing through the darkness, even when it's been tough and even when you don't really know all the things and how to do it and what it's going to look like, because what is coming is going to change lives. So thank you. And that's the same to all the listeners out there. If you say yes to following and just taking one step and trusting that God will guide you and lead you to the promised land that he's created for you, it can be possible for you too. So amazing, amazing. So let me ask you our final question as we get ready to close today's conversation. But how has this part of your journey from the darkness to the light of saying yes to this dream impacted your life and your purpose in this season?
It has brought me into contact with some of the best people. I'll never take that for granted. You're one of them. You know, I met you at a time where I was coming out of something that was also dark. And again, not fully understanding what my next steps were going to be. The Lord has shown me that for most of my life, I have not operated in faith and I've not operated in grace. His grace. Those I know are two fundamentally life-altering lessons that for a life of service to him, it can't be out of obligation. It can't be out of, I think I have to do this to deserve this.
Come on.
And so it's changing everything about my life. It's changing the way I view relationships. It's changing the way I view myself. And it's changing the way that I love my Heavenly Father because it's a no strings attached.
Yes.
I'm not going to disappoint you. You don't view me by my merit or my status. And it allows me to freely love and be loved and remain in his love and remain in his grace. And where most of my life was operating in, I am here because I've done X, Y, or Z, but if I don't do this, then I'll lose all of it and I suddenly become unworthy. This is a very new outlook on life, but it transfers the pressure off my shoulders that I've carried for a long time. And just the thought of placing it in his hands, it makes my yoke easy and my burden light because that's his yoke. And I get to share that with him. So again, I think it's translated into my boundaries and mm-hmm. how I operate and how I can become a healthy, you know, daughter of mm-hmm. God mm-hmm. and how I can then with my open hands, let what he desires flow through me, whether I'm perfect or not, because I won't be.
I don't know about you guys, but as she's sharing that, I hope you just feel the weight falling off your shoulders, because what she's testifying to is what we can all receive as daughters of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so I think if there would be a takeaway that I would want you to take away from this conversation, it would be this: whatever God is calling you to do, he just requires your yes. He doesn't require you to feel pressure to know the next step. He doesn't require you to have the 5-step plan. He doesn't need you to have all the insight and the awareness. He doesn't even need you to show up with the right heart. Mm-hmm. He just needs your yes. Yeah. And as you say yes, he will unfold miracle after miracle. And in the process, what you see being produced won't be the only miracle. It'll be what's happening in you as well.
Yeah.
And so chase that dream. Start really praying and seeking the Lord about what he has moved you to say yes to, and then do it mm-hmm. because what's on the other side is a life that is transformed, a kingdom strategy that is now being activated so you can push back the kingdom of darkness and help transform the world with a kingdom of light. You have a kingdom assignment. You have been created on purpose for a purpose. And I pray that this conversation today has inspired you to, you know what? I maybe have just been waiting by the water and being like, it looks cold. It's cold, right? Oh, you know, I think I don't feel good today. I'm not going to step in today. Maybe tomorrow, right? Whatever it is, I hope that this conversation will inspire you to launch, to move through the darkness, to see what's on the other side, because there's light and there's love and there's hope. So Olivia, if you could leave our listeners with just something that would empower them to rise up and radiate as we close our conversation today, what would that be?
Something that keeps rotating in my head that I remember very vividly was when the Lord was kind of pushing me into those steps. There was mm-hmm. a time I remember sitting with my friend Amanda. We had just listened to a whole conference on how to start a school similar to the one I'm wanting to start. And I remember looking at her and feeling just at my core afraid. Mm-hmm. And I asked her a question out of fear. I looked at her and I sobbed and I said, "Do you really think I can do this?" Mm. And at that time, I asked because I did not know. And I think what I would leave your listeners with is there is some, again, even in our conversation today, mm-hmm. internally, there is going to have to be a shift yeah. where you process through that fear and the lies that you're believing and change your perspective. Because even if you take a step, if that fear still is gripping at you, will always come back up. And I had felt for so long a burst of energy and then fear, a burst of energy and then fear. And it continued. And there'd be times I would be paralyzed by who am I to think I can do this? Do mm-hmm. other people think I can do this? Because I don't think I can do this. Imposter syndrome and all of those, you know, nasty feelings that come with that. And in getting alone with the Lord and confessing those feelings and bringing those to him and reworking my identity in him, now I'm to the point which I think is sustainable and where he mm-hmm. wants me, where I know that I can do it, but it does not hinge on my strength.
Come on.
And I think that is really at the crux of all people that have this dream and all the people that have this vision, because you can do it, but it is understanding that with that perspective, it is not a pressure on your shoulders that you have to do it perfectly or that doing it is going to be a reflection of whether you know, if you are a failure or not, or if you're a success or not. It's going to be solely to glorify the Lord. And as I'm in this conversation with you, I'm thinking about that moment. And I'm realizing now that she told me she was waiting for me to get to the point where I would be able to say, I can do this. And after everything he's brought me through, I'm now at the point where I truly believe in humility that I can do this, because it's not really about what I'm doing. It's about what he's doing through me.
Woo! Y'all, got nothing left. Take that. Run with it, because that is a good word. Wow. Olivia, I cannot thank you enough for coming on today, for sharing your dream, for giving us a taste of the process of how you've had to navigate darkness to come on the other side. And I just want to encourage you guys, as you follow the dream, you'll constantly be having to wrestle so many of those things, but recognizing that, you know what, I can. Because at the end of the day, it's not Ivory. It's not Olivia. It's the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. That is the secret. That's a secret.
Yeah.
And so cling to that and know that when you give God your yes, he will continue to open door after door and make a way and provide an outlet and give you rest and give you peace and pick you up when you fall down and set you back on the right path. He's so faithful. So seriously, thank you so much. This has been such an encouragement for my soul. And I'm just so grateful.
Thank you for giving me the space to share.
Yes, absolutely. All right. We have a fun question that we asked to kind of lighten the mood and so my listeners can get to know you a little bit. So today I want to ask you, if you had a choice, you're a teacher, so you probably, I know back in the old days, the teachers would get an apple. Would you prefer a red apple or a green apple, and why?
Green, 1,000%, which is sad because usually I get red apples from all my students. But I like the sour.
Yeah.
I mean, no hate to red apples, but I'm
a good teacher. I got you. So hear that, yep. People?
Yep.
All of her future students, yeah. Bring Miss Olivia some green apples, okay? Oh my goodness. Well, listen, thank you for being here. Listeners, thank you for tuning in for today's episode. I pray that it's just encouraging you that no matter what you face, no matter the darkness and the challenges that may tell you that you can't do the thing that God's put in your heart, you can. You are made to rise up and radiate. Until next time, God bless you. Before we go today, I just wanted to give you an update. Since we have recorded this episode, God has done some incredible things on the behalf of my sweet friend who recorded with me on this episode. Check out this update.
Hey friends, there have been some incredible things that have happened since we recorded this podcast, and so I just wanted to hop on and give you more of an update. I have established Kairos Farm Academy as an LLC and posted my first social media video, which explains the meaning of Kairos and really what the vision is for this school. The Lord directed me to a property in Land O'Lakes that we're going to be renting from, and so there's some work to be done on that property to get it ready because we are starting in the fall of August 2025. So again, all happening very quickly. I have 8 students currently enrolled, and I would love to start with 10. That being said, this summer is going to be full of preparing the building, gathering supplies, and just prepping the grounds around the school for the start date of August 11th. We are going to be having some work days this summer. Really, I mean, people have been asking the biggest way they can contribute and just help. Obviously, the first being prayer, but second, the next biggest thing would be just financial support and also helping to provide some supplies that are going to be needed for this space. And then lastly, just putting your hands together and coming with us on a work day. We're going to be having one soon. I'll be kind of posting that hopefully this week, but we're going to be setting up a fence, kind of getting a chicken coop situation ready for some chickens, moving some things out of some of the rooms that are inside of the building and fixing up walls and installing security cameras and just a little taste of what's to come. So thank you again for all your support. The Lord is doing so many incredible things and he gets all the glory for what's taking shape. And I just appreciate any way that you partner with it.
How amazing is that? So if you would like to connect, if this has been an encouragement for where you believe God is calling you, let this be a testimony to just say yes, because in the midst of the darkness, God still has a beautiful destiny that he will bring to life when you just say yes. So thank you for listening. I hope this has been such an incredible encouragement. And go out there. It's time to rise up and radiate and change the world. Until next time. Thank you for joining me today, beauties. I hope you're leaving inspired and ready to rise up and shine brighter than ever before. If you love today's episode, please let me know. I absolutely love hearing from you on Instagram. Feel free to send me a DM at Radiate Life Coaching or tag me in your story so I can share it too. If you're wondering about any products I mentioned or need more information, you can always email me at ivory@radiate-lifecoaching.com. And don't forget, all the details and links from today's episodes are right here in the show notes. Thank you again for being here. Let's keep spreading the light together. Until next time.